Today we are discussing chapter 7 of Hilchot Deot, which is the last chapter of Hilchot Deot. And we discuss the Rambam. He's trying to give us a way, a path to improve ourselves, which he makes part of Jewish law. It's interesting. So he's the first one to talk about health. So it's a very holistic approach. It's very interesting. This is the Rambam's holistic approach. It's not just the soul he's concerned about, is also concerned about the body. It's a healthy body and a healthy soul. Very important. A healthy soul and a healthy body, which is Judaism's approach to perfection. So there's physical perfection and there's spiritual perfection. We need to do both. Interesting. As he says, you cannot have a healthy soul in an unhealthy body. If the body is not healthy, the soul cannot be healthy. You cannot pray, you cannot function, you cannot do mitzvot. And therefore it's a goal. Our goal is to have both. We want both a healthy soul and a healthy body. Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll all have healthy bodies. Because we want to serve God. And that's a very important way of looking at life. Because I want to be healthy in order to serve Hashem. If I'm not healthy, I can't serve Hashem. So the last section is the last chapter, chapter 7. And over here it's interesting because he talks about the laws of Lashon Hara. The laws of bad speech. And this is one of the mitzvot in the Torah in Parsha Kiddushim, which is right next to the mitzvah of Ve'avta L'Re'echa Kamocha. And the Rambam already qualified, we talked about that. He talks about mitzvah Ve'avta L'Re'echa Kamocha in a previous chapter. And he says, if you love someone, you're going to treat them the way you treat yourself. You don't want people to speak bad about you. You want to speak bad about them. You want people to say good things about you. So that's Ve'avta L'Re'echa Kamocha. It's obvious. If you're going to love your friend as yourself, it means you want people to say good things about yourself. So you have to say good things about them. That's how you love other people. So now we talk about the negative, which is a mitzvah from the Torah. Lo telech rachil be'amecha. A tail-bearer should not go amongst you. The word rachil comes from the word rochel. A rochel is a traveling salesman or peddler. So a peddler would go around taking out his wares and screaming in public, you know, who wants to buy this, who wants to buy that. And a person who's a gossip monger is like a peddler. They're peddling information instead of peddling goods. It's a peddling information. So-and-so did this, so-and-so did that, so-and-so went here, so-and-so went there. So that's a gossip monger. Now let's talk about the different levels. So what is the lowest level of Lashon Hara? And the answer is it's called Avak Lashon Hara. The dust of Lashon Hara. The dust of Lashon Hara. I should write this down because Rambam doesn't talk about all the details. I'll just fill in the details. The dust of Lashon Hara is very interesting because it doesn't really, you're not even saying Lashon Hara. But you could be insinuating something. Someone walks in and you wink. Why did you wink? You point, you wink. And people say, ah. It's like saying, that fool, say the fool walked in, you know. Yeah. So you don't say, you didn't say, I didn't say anything. I just winked. So that's the dust of Lashon Hara because it can be interpreted any way you want. Or sarcasm.
Thank you.
Sarcasm, the British say sarcasm is the lowest form of wit. But sarcasm can be taken both ways. Oh, you're so good. Does that mean you're good or you're not good?
No.
No. Okay, so I didn't say anything bad. I didn't say anything.
No.
So that's called Avak Lashon Hara. Avak Lashon Hara can also be about anything which could lead to Lashon Hara. You don't have to say something good about someone. If you know the enemy is over there, they're going to say something bad. You can't say anything good about anyone because people will point out their faults. Ah, he's good? You don't even know that person. That person. You think he's good, huh? You don't know that guy. So it's important. You got to watch out who you're speaking to and what you're saying. Even good things can lead to bad things. So that's Avak Lashon Hara. I didn't say anything bad at all. So without saying anything bad, it could be insinuated. It could be interpreted. It could lead to bad things. So that's the lowest level. And most people are guilty of that. Says 90% of people. Avak Lashon Hara and Avak Gezel. The Gemara says most people are involved with Avak Lashon Hara, the dust of Lashon Hara, and Avak Gezel and the dust of robbery. What is the dust of robbery? I didn't rob anything. But maybe I robbed someone's sleep. Maybe I made a noise in the middle of the night, woke someone up. It's hard to, you know, it's hard when you get older, you need to go to the bathroom 4 in the morning, I don't know.
Right.
You wake up your spouse, you may break up your children. It's far away, anyway, I know. What are you going to do? But a person's going to take precautions, you know, try and not to minimize the noise, minimize the lights, But the other thing is, you want to vacuum your house. It's 12 o'clock at night. Be careful. You don't do that. You got to worry about the neighbors. You want to play your stereo? You gotta be careful. So you buy these headphones. So that's avat gezel. It's a dust of robbery. I didn't rob. I would never rob. But maybe, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. I'll taste a little bit of this. Go to a supermarket, take a grape here, grape there. Okay. So that's the dust of robbery. Most people are guilty of dust of lashon hara, dust of robbery. There's a beautiful story. I'm sure you heard it many times. I've said this. Chafetz Chaim is on the train. He's going somewhere. And this guy next to him is very, very jumpy. He's jumpy. He's very excited. He said, why are you so excited? He said, I'm going to meet the Chafetz Chaim. Hey, he said, Chafetz Chaim. What's the Chafetz Chaim? Chafetz Chaim's a person like you and me. What's the problem? What are you so excited about? So the guy smacked him. You talk bad about the Chafetz Chaim? He's a gadol ador. What are you talking about? Chafetz Chaim, get quiet. They're getting off the train. The guy gets off the train. Everyone's over the platform waiting for the Chafetz Chaim. His neighbor on the train gets off. Everyone, Chafetz Chaim, they're all coming for a brachot. Who's that? He said, that's the Chafetz Chaim. That's her. I just smacked him. He said, Rabbi, forgive me. He said, I forgive you. He says, you taught me a new halakha.
A new what?
A new law. You mustn't even speak bad about yourself. So that's Avat Lashon Hara, even saying something bad about yourself. So Chafetz Chaim put that down in his book. You can't even say something bad about yourself. Even though, why not? I can be mochel my own kavod. I can say bad things about myself. No. He says, don't. Someone may not know you're talking about yourself. They may not know who you really are. And they may smack you. They don't say bad things about so-and-so. He's a nice guy. We talk about. Okay, so that's Avat Lashon Hara. Now we come to the next step, which is a rachil. What's a rachil? A talebearer. What's a talebearer? So different kinds of talebearers. But say you're saying good information. So it's nothing bad about it. I didn't say anything bad. The guy's going to England tomorrow. Okay. Who cares? Okay. Well, you go to the store and you tell someone, you know, I saw your husband yesterday in the store. So it's not bad. That's a rachil. A rachil is a talebearer. But he didn't say anything bad. It's not lashon hara. It's not bad. So, but it's just information, revealing information, gossip. So that's number two, is gossip, which is not bad. It's just gossip. I went here and I saw so-and-so, I went there and I saw so-and-so. But you don't know where that information is going to go. You don't know who, where it's going to lead to trouble or not lead to trouble. So maybe the wife sent him on an errand, said, you go to so-and-so. And the friend said, I saw him in the golf, he's playing golf. Mm-hmm. The wife says, what? He told me he went to go buy his stuff. He went playing golf all day yesterday. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, it's lead to trouble. So even though it's innocuous, so number two is innocuous information, it's called rechilut. Rechilut is telling tales, it's innocuous, it looks innocuous, but you never know where it could lead, innocuous information.
So don't talk about anybody.
It's very hard.
Right.
It's very hard. So I'm probably going to try and minimize what they talk about. You know, it's interesting, we have a guy who came from Russia. So we don't know what it's like to live in Russia, because you're followed around, KGB, you don't know who's listening to you. Mm-hmm. So he tells his wife, don't talk on the bus. Don't say a word. Where you're going? What you're doing? He's not allowed to talk about anything. He doesn't tell his wife where he's going. Like he has a business trip. He'll tell her like 2 hours before, I got to go to business. Because that's how you operate in Russia. You don't tell anyone anything. Because everything you say, someone is recording. You don't know. They're going to record and use against someone. But that's the best way to operate in life. You don't talk about people. You don't talk about yourself. You don't talk about what you talk about. Talk about the weather. What else? What do you talk about? What would you talk about? Right? I mean, it's hard to imagine living in a situation where you everything you do is recorded. Someone's recording you. Someone's following you. You don't need to be spied upon. You minimize your speech. Well, the same idea. That's the same idea. There are angels listening. There are God is listening. The world. What does it say? What's Pirkei Avot say? Don't say something and say someone knows listening. Because even the birds will carry your voice. Amazing. Amazing. So in other words, the person's going to be very careful what they say. Words can get a person into trouble. So people think, you know, it's a spoken word, no one knows, you know, people record today, it's wiretapped, it's all sorts of things going on today. People don't know. Okay. Today it's so easy to record conversations. Even when you're talking on the phone, so the other guy could be recording you. You've got to watch what you say. The person's got to watch what they say. But I'm just saying, so even though we think it's innocuous, it could lead to trouble. And that's Rechilut, that's number two. Number three is Lashon Hara. What is Lashon Hara? Definition of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is something true and bad. It's true and it's bad. That's Lashon Hara. It's true and it's bad. So most people tell him, hey, that's Lashon Hara. He said, but it's true. But that's the definition of Lashon Hara. You're right. True and bad is Lashon Hara. That's number three. Lashon Hara is true and it's bad.
How about
thinking about somebody.
That's rechilut. That's number two.
Okay.
We talked about that. So number one is avak. I didn't say anything. Just insinuating, being sarcastic, pointing, winking. Number two is just talking about someone. Rechilut. I didn't say anything bad. Nothing bad at all. Just facts. I saw this one. I went here. I saw this one. I saw this one. This one's going away. This one's coming. Most people do that. And it's very low level. It's very low level because it's innocuous. But you don't know where it's going to lead. Mm-hmm. Maybe someone will get into trouble. Number three is Lashon Hara, which is lies. I'm sorry. It's true and bad. Lashon Hara. The fourth level is the worst. Motzi Shemra. Motzi Shemra is lies and is bad. That's the worst thing. It's a lie. It's not true. Person's going to give someone, it's called character assassination. You can ruin people's marriages, you can ruin people's businesses just by telling lies, falsehood, which is repeated, like they said about Jews, right? Jews are bad, Nazis, Goebbels, right? Just say something over and over again and people believe you. Propaganda, right? So, like the Palestinians, same thing. Propaganda, you say it over and over again, even though it's a lie, people will start believing you. You know, the Palestinians lived in Israel 2,000 years ago and JC was a Palestinian and everyone's Palestinians all of a sudden. The whole world is Palestinians, also. So people believe them. Why? Because they tell a lie over and over again. So that's Motzi Shemra. It's telling lies. It's a lie and it's bad. It's a bad lie. It's Motzi Shemra. So it's amazing how dangerous that is. That can destroy people's lives. That can really destroy people's lives. So that's what the Rambam's talking about. Miragel b'chaviro. So the word he uses over here is not rechilut. He uses the word miragel. Regel, miragel is the miraglim. What are the miraglim? Spies. Interesting word to use. A person who spies on someone. I'll tell you why he's going to use this, because we're going to see the classic case in the Torah of Lashon Hara. A person who spies and talks about them transgresses a negative commandment, as it says, Lo telech rachil be'amecha, a talebearer should not go amongst my people. Even though there's no lashes, there's no punishment in Jewish law for this. There's no punishment. Why is there no punishment in Jewish law? Who can tell me? There's no action. You can't punish someone for no action. Speech is not considered action. It's interesting. Speech is not considered action. There's no action for the. There's no action. There's no punishment. So just speech. So Rambam says, even though there's no punishment, there's no action. Nevertheless, he says, Avon gadolhu. It's a very big sin. Look at the language over here. This is very unusual for Rambam to say this. He doesn't say this very often.
What he's saying,
so. Avon gadolhu. Avon gadolhu. It's a very big sin. Okay? So it's interesting because there are different words for sin, right? Let's go through the words for sin. Number one. Ones. Ones is accident. Accidental. Shogeg. What's shogeg?
Also.
Unintentional forgetfulness. True forgetfulness. Okay. The person forgets today Shabbat. He switches on the light. Shogeg. What does he have to do? He brings a korban. In those days, you got to bring a sacrifice. But forgetfulness is not a good excuse. It's not a good excuse. Why do you forget? Did you forget your wife's birthday? Not you, because I know. Hans Khalila, there you go. Would you forget your anniversary? You're in big trouble. Forgetfulness is not an excuse. I'm sorry. We had a teacher at school when I was a kid. You what? You forgot your homework? You forgot your head? How can you forget your head? So, forgetfulness is no excuse in Jewish law. Shogeg, you have to bring a korban. Can you imagine? It costs the money. It's embarrassing. You go with a sheep to the temple. Well, where are you going? I'm going to the Beit HaMikdash. Why are you bringing a sheep with you? So it's very embarrassing. It's very, very embarrassing. So, okay. So that's shogeg. And then mezid. There's two kinds of mezid on purpose. The first level is avon. That's what we're talking about. Avon is a person is doing something for pleasure. A person eats, goes to McDonald's to eat. I don't know if you find it pleasurable. Obviously, he finds it pleasurable. That is avon. And then we have pesha. Pesha is the worst. Pesha is doing something, not for the sake of pleasure, but doing something to anger God. Just to anger God. So the question is like this. Which category is Lashon Hara? Which category is Lashon Hara? Is it... It's definitely on purpose. The question is, I don't know, usually it's on purpose. People talk. So the question is it, what category is it on? If it's on the Chafetz Chaim wants to say it's Pesha. It's terrible. Because what pleasure are you getting out of speaking Lashon Hara? What pleasure do you get? There's no physical pleasure. There's no tangible pleasure. So a person must be doing it to anger Anyway, I don't want to say that, because Rambam doesn't say that. Rambam says it's called the Avon. Avon is sinning for the sake of pleasure. Obviously, there is some pleasure in it. The person's talking about someone else, and there is some kind of pleasure you're getting by just by relating things, gossiping. There is a kind of pleasure in gossip. People do have pleasure from gossiping. So Rambam lists it as an Avon, which is a pleasurable sin. A pleasurable sin. Even though it's just speech, there is some kind of pleasure in talking about discussing other people's business. It's interesting. People like to get involved in other people's business. They don't like talking about their own business. They like talking about other people's businesses and poking their nose and discussing other people, and you should have done that, and you should have done this. And it. Okay. But then he brings down this case. So why is it so bad, he says, even though there's no punishment in Jewish law? Ze'avon gadol. This is a very big sin. We said a pleasurable sin. Vigorem la rog nefashot rabot Israel. It can cause many Jewish people to be killed. And that's why the next mitzvah in the Torah is, don't stand by your neighbor's blood, your friend's blood. Don't stand by idly when you see someone being killed. What's the connection between Lashon Hara and seeing someone killed? And the answer is, because Lashon Hara could lead to people being killed. For example, this guy Vanunu. Have you heard of Vanunu?
Mm-hmm.
Vanunu is, Mordechai Vanunu. He's the one who snitched about the Jewish nuclear program, right, in Israel. He gave them information, he gave him pictures. So, now we don't know, that's counterintelligence, you don't know what's going on really, the Mossad is involved, we don't know what's going on really, but that's the fact is, he snitched. So he's not allowed to leave Israel. He wants to go to his girlfriend who's not Jewish outside, I don't know, he wants to live somewhere, Denmark or somewhere. Okay. So he was in jail for many years, but he's free now. But he can't leave Israel. Suddenly he can't talk. He's not allowed to talk to newspapers and other things. Okay. But he caused a lot of damage. So he can cause people to be killed because of that. So that's what we're talking about over here. That information about someone could lead to disasters. Could lead to dangerous situations. So especially you work in the army and you're giving information to other people. It's a gossip. It's gossip. Okay. So he says, go and see what happened to Doeg Ha'edomi. Who is Doeg Ha'edomi? Who can tell me? Who is Doeg Ha'edomi? Doeg Ha'edomi was the head of the Sanhedrin in the time of Shaul HaMelech, King Saul. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. Imagine, head of the Sanhedrin. What does he do? David HaMelech is Shaul's son-in-law. He's also one of the generals of the army. And Shaul hated David then. Why? He heard David was anointed to be the next king. He's a threat. He's a threat to his rule, to his son's rule, and therefore Shaul wants to kill David. Very weird situation over there. Well,
especially
his son-in-law wants to kill his son-in-law.
Right.
Is that common?
Son-in-law are best friends.
Right. So now Yonatan warns David, and David runs away. He runs away. Where does he run? He runs to the city of Nov, Ir HaKohanim. The city of Nov, the city of Kohanim. And over there he goes to the high priest, and he asks him for help. Please, can you help me? Ahimelech. I have no food, I have no weapons, I'm destitute. Ahimelech says, listen, of course I'll help you. You're the right hand of King Saul. Of course I'll help you. He gives him food, he gives him weapons. And who's watching? Doeg Ha'edomi, the head of the Sanhedrin, is watching. And he is witnessing that the head of the priest is helping David. He goes back to Shaul. Says, look, the priests are helping your enemy. They're helping him. They know he's your enemy. They know he's running away from you. They're helping him. Treason. Shaul says, wipe out that city. Imagine, he told lies. He told classic Motzi Shemra. They were not helping him as an enemy, they were helping him as a friend.
Right.
They didn't know that he's an enemy. So he went and twisted all the information. Doeg Ha'edomi, very weird. Why would he do that? So we see even though a person knows a lot of Torah, it doesn't mean they're good people. That's what we see from the story. That a person can learn a lot of Torah, but it's a gold ring in the nose of a pig. Sometimes the Torah is a gold ring, and then there's a big Bar Minan. Should never be like that. Because there's a lot of Torah, and then uses the Torah as a tool to hit others. And that's the danger of teaching people Torah. But you've got to watch out. Rabban Gamliel, if someone came to Rabban Gamliel to learn Torah, he would check him out first. Tocho kebaro is your inside and your outside match. Because who are you really inside? Are you a nice person? If you're not a nice person, get out of here. I'm going to teach you Torah. So the Vilna Gaon says, how come? The Torah is meant to improve someone, right? The Vilna Gaon says, no. The Torah is like water. The Torah is compared to water. Yeshayahu Navi says, "Hoy kol tameh lech lemayim." Anyone who's thirsty, go to the water. Which water is he talking about? He's talking about the water of the Torah. So water is compared to Torah. Water. Why is the Torah compared to water? Because the water goes from high places to low places. The Torah goes down to a person who's humble. Moshe Rabbeinu is humble. Gets the Torah. But Torah is compared to water. So Vilna Gaon says, what does water do? It makes things grow which are planted in the ground. Whatever's planted inside you, the Torah is going to make you grow. If there's bad things inside you, the Torah will make that grow as well. That's amazing. A person doesn't learn Musar. Doesn't work on their ethics. Doesn't work on their morals. So it's going to make them worse, not better. That's it. Shabbatai Tzvi, classic, right? Learning Torah, he learned Kabbalah, he learned everything, but he was evil, he was a proud man. He had bad midot, bad traits. So the Torah is not going to improve the traits unless a person works on their traits. So we can do whatever we want with the Torah we learn. That's the danger. The Torah doesn't improve a person unless they want to be improved. If they're not trying to be improved, they learn more tricks, right? The Gemara discusses lux. Has some kind of Gemara about locks. And Shmuel is debating, should I teach people in my class how to open this lock? Maybe there'll be a robber with it. Maybe the guy will know how to use lock. He'll know how to open locks. Imagine, he's teaching a Torah class to his students. Shall I teach them how to, this is part of the Torah about opening locks. So, should I teach them or not? Maybe there's a crook over here. So it's dangerous. So what do we see over here? You see this guy, Doeg Hadomi, who is the head of the Sanhedrin, speaks Lashon Hara about the priests. Shaul says, destroy the whole town of priests, nor of Irakonim. And his head of the army, Avner ben Ner. Avner ben Ner. Disobey orders. I'm disobeying orders. I do not follow orders to kill Kohanim. I'm sorry, king. You want to kill the Kohanim, you get someone else. The army is not going to get involved in this. So can you imagine? Avner ben Ner, to his credit, that's his big zechut, Avner ben Ner. Imagine, he's the general of the army, disobeys treason, disobeys the king's order. So the king says, who's going to kill the Kohanim? Doeg, you talked bad about them, you go kill them. He went and killed, destroyed the city of Kohanim. Imagine how many Kohanim there would be today if he wouldn't have done that. So he destroyed the city of Kohanim. Whatever, there's hundreds of priests over there. And can you imagine? So we see over there that a person who can speak bad about someone can really kill them as well. They really speak such bad things about them. Character assassination is really like murder in a sense. So a person's got to be very careful. When someone comes to you and says, do you know so-and-so? I want to do business with them. Okay? So half the time there's a lot of criteria over there which are very hard. Practically impossible to fulfill. You're allowed to warn someone, but just don't embellish. Don't overdo it. It's got to be factual. It's got to be with no intention to hurt anyone. But it's going to do it in a way that doesn't really hurt someone permanently. It's so hard. It's so hard. Someone comes to you and asks you about shidduch information about so-and-so. And you know the guy's a medical problem. What do you tell them? You have to say the truth, but don't embellish. So I say, I know there's a problem, but listen, you find out. Go find out. I'm just telling you, there's an issue. On the other hand, if you don't warn them, it can lead to more problems. So you have to warn, but it's a very complicated thing. Very, very complicated. So Say Ulmad, the Rabbam says, go and see what happened to Doeg. He spoke gossip. He spoke not just gossip, it was Motzi Shemra. He said bad lies about the Kohanim. Caused the whole city to be killed. Okay, so now we're moving on. What is level number two? Rabbam starts level number two. Ezehu Rachil. So the Torah says, Lo telech Rachil be'amecha. A talebearer should not go amongst you. What is a Rachil? What is a talebearer? Ze shetoed dvarim ve'olech mezeh lezeh. A person who hears things here and goes and gives it out there. And he says, Ploni, kach v'kach amar, kach v'kach amar ploni, kach v'kach shemati, so-and-so said this, so-and-so I heard, so-and-so this, so-and-so this. Even though it's true, he's destroying the world, Rambam says. That's gossip. Gossip is a rachil. Second level, he didn't say anything bad. He's just revealing information about so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. But you never know where it's going to go. That's the trouble. You don't know where that information is going to go. You don't know who's going to hear it. You don't know what trouble it's going to lead to. And therefore, Rambam says, this is destroying the world. Oh boy. Hard to sit around the Kiddush table. Sing a lot of songs. Sing a lot of songs. That's just sing a lot of songs. It's very hard. It's very hard. You're sitting around the table and Kiddush, whatever, and people talk. Just don't talk about people. Divrei Torah, songs. Yesh avon gadol mizeh al meod. And there's a level even worse than this. Look at the language. A big sin. I mean, Rambam is... Yeah, he doesn't use the word sin in for no reason. Yes. Avon gadol mizeh ad meod. A very, very big sin worse than this. And that is lashon hara. It's bad and it's true. So Rachel, that's good. That's good. It's facts. It's not bad. It's okay. It's good. It could be good. Good and it's true. That's bad enough. But lashon hara is bad and true. Oh, that's much worse. Much, much worse. Talking bad about someone, even though he's telling the truth. So people say, but it's true. That is lashon hara. That's a fact. That's the definition of lashon hara. If it's not true, it's not lashon hara. It's worse. It's motzi shem ra. It's worse. Aval haomer sheker. That's the third level. Okay, so this is on our list. We had four levels, but Rambam gives us three levels. Worst three. The worst three are rechilut, which is just gossip, not even bad. The second is lashon hara. It's true and bad. And then the last thing, aval, haomer sheker, motzi shemra. The person says lies, which is bad. Nikra motzi shemra al chaviro. Character assassination. He's saying bad things about his friend, which are lies. Okay, so there's the three levels Rambam brings down. Rechilut, which is, everyone should know this on the tip of the fingers, rechilut is
facts.
Factual. Not bad facts. Just facts. Rechilut, that's bad enough. Okay, next level. Lashon hara, what's lashon hara? True bad. And then there's motzi shem ra, which is lies and bad. Okay, three levels. Okay. Now we come to a different level. Not because it's bad, but because it's frequent. Aval, baal lashon hara. What is a baal lashon hara? The owner of lashon hara. Oy, oy, oy. Zesh yoshev obeir kafu kacha saploni kafu kacha yuavatav kafu hashamati alav madvarib shalkanai. A person who's habituated to do this all the time. Gossip monger number one. But it's all bad. That's lashon hara. Baal lashon hara is the owner of lashon hara. That's all he does all day, or she does all day. You can talk to them information, but they give you bad information about so-and-so's bad, and so-and-so's this, and his grandfather was like this, and his mother was like this, and his this was like this, and the father, and the sister, and the brother, and they give the whole family everything bad. That's Baal Lashon Hara. Yes?
Sometimes, someone from the city I used to live in, and she'll give me a rundown of so-and-so got engaged, and so-and-so had a baby,
You tell me, which category is it in?
It's not lashon hara.
It's definitely lashon hara. The question is it rechilut? That's the question.
Well, they know each other. You may want to send her a congratulatory card.
So if it's for positive reasons, I don't think there is a problem. If you want to know because you want to send them a card, you want to send them a gift. The question is, first is what? The guy's married so and so? Crazy? That's the problem. The problem is
my friend Vermont calls me to tell me another friend died.
Yeah, that's not a very good idea, right? Mm-hmm. Should not relay bad information. But again, if it's the toilet, you want to send a card, you want to send sympathy. So it depends what the reaction is. Why are they telling you? Why are they telling you? In fact, before you reveal information, you have to always ask, why do you need to know? You always have to ask that question. Why do you need to know? And you say, I want to give them a card, I want to send that. Okay. But if it's not letoelet, it's got to be, that's what Chafetz Chaim says, it's got to be letoelet. It's got to be for a purpose, for a useful, good purpose. If it's not for a good purpose, what do you need to know? So that's the first question. Someone says, oh, do you not have to tell so? First question is, why do I need to know? Do I need to know this information? If I don't need to know this information, don't tell me. I don't want to hear. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. You know, when I was giving a class once in Seattle, many years ago, and I was talking about a newspaper reporter. He said, it's not a job for a good Jewish kid. And they attacked me. They pounced on me. What do you mean? Da, 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 da. So many reporters, they're all Jewish. But truth is, a lot of the stuff is gossip. A lot of the stuff is causing a lot of trouble for people. But you're allowed to talk about people in power because they're in an office which is a public office. Anyone who's running for public office, it's a mitzvah to discover their past and talk about their past. Why? Because they're in private.
So for a lot of people, the
only trouble is embellishing it and lying about it and telling bad things about it.
Motzi shem ra. The
trouble is today you don't know the difference between lashon hara, motzi shem ra. It's a blur. It's fake news. A lot of fake news around. Anyway, I don't know. I'm just saying it's not a good job for a good Jewish kid. A newspaper reporter. Dad, I want to go in and be a newspaper reporter. No, son, don't be a newspaper reporter. Dad, I want to be a doctor. Don't be a doctor. Dad, I want to be a lawyer. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, so that's a Baal Lashon Hara. The person who just, that's all they do all day. All they do is bad information about people. Azeh Amar Katuv, David HaMelech says, David HaMelech suffered tremendously from these people. If you look at Tehillim, there's a lot of Tehillim against people who just talk bad about him all the time. And one of them was Doeg HaDami, who talked bad about David all the time. That he said, David is not even Jewish. Because he's descended from Ruth. And she was a Moabite. And she wasn't allowed to convert in the first place. No, you made bad things about... Never... So David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Yikaret Hashem Kol Siftei Halakot. Hashem should cut all those smooth tongues. Lashon medaber golot, tongues speak a lot. Amru Chachamim, the rabbi said. Now again, you see how the rabbis, now even though this is not a major mitzvah over here, we're talking about a small mitzvah. Why? How do we know it's a small mitzvah? How do we know it's a small mitzvah? He told us. There's no punishment. You speak Lashon Hara, what's the punishment for it? Nothing in the book. Nothing, the Torah doesn't say punishments, nothing. So the rabbis had to emphasize. The rabbis had to boost it. Because people say, so what? I just said something. So what? What'd I do? I didn't do anything. Most people tell him, you said something bad about someone. So what? Nothing bad happened. He didn't lose his business. He didn't lose his spouse. He didn't lose his this. He's doing well. Nothing happened.
It can cause it.
It can, but nothing happened. I spoke and nothing happened. So now what? There's no punishment. There's nothing. So the rabbis emphasized this. Amru Rachamim. The rabbi said, three sins a person gets punished in this world and they lose their portion in the world to come. The rabbis were very, very harsh on this. Let's see. Number one, big mitzvah. These are big things. Idolatry. Idolatry. A person can lose their portion in this world and they lose the next world as well. Gilui arayot, immorality. These are big things. Shfichut damim. We know murder. Three capital offenses. And what do they add to this? Lashon Hara. They added number four. V'lashon HaRegel, look at what they said. Lashon Hara keneged kulam. Lashon Hara is the equivalent of all three put together. That's how harsh, because people are talking Lashon Hara. How are you going to stop them? Rabbis, not such a big thing. Why are you telling me? There's no punishment. There's no nothing. So the rabbi said, it's worse than all three cardinal sins put together. That's a bit scary, right? When you hear that, it sort of wakes you up a little bit. What? Lashon Hara is as bad as three cardinal sins? Idolatry, murder, and immorality? It's as bad as all three put together? So the rabbis are trying to put fear, pure fear into people. Don't say these things. Don't speak. Don't say bad things about people. Furthermore, the rabbi said, whoever speaks bad, it's as if they denied God. Okay, again, they're quoting Tehillim. David HaMelech says again, David HaMelech had the most trouble from Lashon Hara. And furthermore, the rabbi said, Shlosha Lashon Hara harigin. Three people are killed by Lashon Hara. The person who speaks, the person who listens, and the person who's being talked about. And the worst is the person who's listening. So you think, the person who's talking is worse than the person listening. No, the person listening is encouraging the person to talk.
Right.
But if you put your fingers in your ears, and the guy's talking to you, he's going to stop talking. It's very hard to do. But what we do is say, I'm sorry, I've got to run. Something just came up. What came up? The conversation just came up. So I have to run. You have to make an excuse and change the subject. Oh, what a beautiful day today. Oh, yes, really. Did you hear the news today? You've got to change the subject completely. It's so hard.
Why, the sky is blue, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So, politicians are very good at that. They can change the topic. So you have to change the topic. Well, imagine a person loses the portion of the world to come just by speaking bad about people. Oh, it's terrible. So a person just hearing, I didn't say anything. I didn't talk. So the answer is no, you didn't talk, but you're encouraging the talking. So listening. So that person, I had a guy in yeshiva, he was terrible. Okay, am I allowed to say that? You don't know who he is, okay. He was terrible when it came to Lashon Hara. What does that mean? You couldn't talk to him, Lashon Hara. Say, Ani lo mekabel. I don't accept. Ani lo mekabel. So that's what he says. Don't receive it. He says the receiver is worse than the more. He says, Ani lo mekabel. So in other words, you're telling me bad things about so-and-so. I don't accept a word of what you're saying. Ani lo mekabel. Oh yeah, but really? Lo mekabel. Really, really? Lo mekabel.
Because if you think about it, they haven't been involved.
You have the person who's speaking. They already know it. The person who it's about, it may or may not affect them. But the person that you spoke to, now all of a sudden, they have this information that they didn't want. Now they have it.
They can pass it on to
the next
person.
They're the one that has been changed.
Right, exactly. Right. So they're in the worst situation. Probably the worst situation in both ways. What are they going to do with that information? So now the burden is now on them. The burden is on them. So obviously it depends on the information. So I got my money out over here in the small commentary over here. He says some things you're allowed to accept. We talked about last week, 2 weeks ago, was it? About Gedaliah ben Ahikam, remember? They warned Gedaliah, don't go, they're going to kill you. And he said, I don't accept. Lashon Hara. But sometimes you have to accept. If it's a warning, you're allowed to take a warning. You're allowed to heed warnings. So that's why you have to ask. Why do I need this information? I'll tell you, it's a warning. A warning, I got to take a warning. Even though you're not allowed to believe it 100%, you're allowed to take warnings. A person allowed to take a warning, and you're allowed to listen to warnings. Okay, now we come to Avak Lashon Hara. We talked about it before, the first level. So it's interesting, first he goes to the three, and now he talks about Avak. Yesh Dvarim Shein Avak Lashon Hara. And some things are the dust of Lashon Hara. Ketzad. Don't talk about so-and-so. I don't want to tell you what happened. That implies that something did happen. So I'm not going to talk about it. I can't talk about it. Is that avak lashon hara? By saying I can't talk about it, that's avak. What do you say?
Then don't.
Let's change the subject. Great, if someone feels, you know, you have to say it. You know. But the way you say it, it's got to be done in a way like, let's talk about something else. But if you say, I can't talk about that, so-and-so, that's avak lashon hara, dust of lashon hara, because it implies there is something to talk about. And whoever says something good about someone before their enemies, that's also the dust of lashon hara. Why? Because they're going to say bad things about him. You say something good about so-and-so, it opens the conversation, and they're going to tell you, no, you don't know what he's like, he's worse, he's bad. And this is what King Solomon says, Shlomo HaMelech says, Mivarech re'eu bekol gadol, a person who's blessing his friend with a big voice in the morning, it's considered a curse. Why? Because he's causing other people to say bad things.
Why in the morning?
I don't know. And then saying you go, that's probably where people have breakfast together, sit together, and they talk. See, bless in the morning. The person who uses lashon hara as a sarcastic, like a laugh, like a joke. I'm not speaking because I hate the guy. And that's what King Solomon says. So he says, he talks about the pot, right? A pot which has got firewood underneath, which crackles. It's a lot of noise, but there's no substance. The person speaks lashon hara, a trickery, as if it's sarcasm, basically. Ush is a bit little more as if he doesn't know what's going on. Just innocently, he just blurts out this conversation. But really, he knows. So he's saying it as if he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know it's lashon hara. Oh, I didn't know it's lashon hara. Oh, I wouldn't have never said this. But really, he knows. So all this is called the category. So maybe it can be interpreted both ways. That's avak lashon hara. So let's clarify. Avak lashon hara. So he gives definite examples of the dust of avak lashon hara. Number one is, let's not talk about so-and-so, implies there is something to talk about. Number two is, not to speak something good about someone in front of their enemies, because they're going to talk bad about them. Not to say something in a joke, which can be construed as bad. So all the sarcastic, being sarcastic about someone, also, avak lashon hara. Okay. So now, does it make a difference if the person you're talking about is right there or not? That's the question. That's number eight, number five. We're in halacha number five. Echad misaper b'lashon hara b'fnei chaveru or shelo b'fanav. It doesn't make a difference whether you're speaking in front of your friend or not in front of your friend. In fact, it could be worse if he's there. Why? If you make his face change color.
Yeah.
You embarrass the person. Right. So it depends. Sometimes he's there. It's better. Why? He can defend himself. If he's not there, he can't defend himself. But if he's there, at least he can defend himself. But if he's there and he's talking bad, it could make him embarrassed, much more embarrassed. So it doesn't make a difference whether he's there or not, it's still lashon hara. So he can't say, but he's here. I can say anything I want in front of him. You can, but not with other people around. take him to a quiet room and talk as much as you want. You so-and-so, you so-and-so, you can tell him as much as you want. He'll say, no, I'm not. You are. No. Why are you calling me names? He can defend himself, but not in front of people. Don't embarrass people in front of someone. Take him to a private room and talk to him. Yes? Yeah, it's so hard to chastise children.
Does that apply to one?
Chastising children, yes. I think there is an element of shame. That's a trouble. It's a problem. It's a problem for teachers in a classroom situation. And in fact, all children, when they're around you and you have no time and one guy is misbehaving, what do? You embarrass him in front of everyone? What do you do? It's some kids, they don't get embarrassed. That's a real problem.
Oh, like at the table, you know, like you have guests.
Yes, it's very embarrassing. It's very embarrassing.
But how about in the classroom?
Yeah. What you can say is, go outside and wait for me. I'm going to come outside and deal with you.
That's right. You think that's, they can go outside?
But it's at least you're not embarrassing in public. You're telling him to go outside, but you don't know. But that's very embarrassing.
What about in the house?
In the house, same thing. Go to your room and I'll deal with you afterwards. But
like if there's no guests, if it's only the family, like is that considered embarrassing? You're supposed to take them out or not really?
I've seen good mothers take out the child, pull him out, and give him a good talking to outside. Mm-hmm. And the other kids are listening. I mean.
Of course.
But it's a lesson to them as well. But I don't know. It's very complicated. It's very complicated. It's a very complicated scenario. Listen, I'll tell you the story of the Stipler. Huh?
Worst, what happened when my kids were young, another mother was talking to me about my son in front of my son.
Oh, great. That's how he was choosing a good case of
you know what? Everything, life is life. You have to walk around not opening up your mouth to your own children.
No, I didn't say that. There's a mitzvah to exact, and that's the trouble. That's what the alternative is. The alternative is worse. You have to tell you rebuke your children. The Gemara says David HaMelech never rebuked his children. It was a disaster.
Right.
Can you imagine? Avshalom killed his son. Yeah. He killed his brother Amnon.
Right, because of that.
And David didn't tell him a word.
Right.
What kind of father is that? So he gets.
The
it's very important to rebuke your children because you're responsible for your children. You're going to get blamed later on. You raised that child. The question is, why did Yitzhak raise Esav? So the balance is, Yaakov Eden says, did not rebuke his children until the day of his death. He said, if I rebuke them, they're going to run away and join Esav. So it depends on how a person rebukes. Obviously, not harshly, not to throw them out the house. It's a very small doche, yamin mikarev, the Gemara says. You push to your left and you draw with your right. So good cop, bad cop routine. So you know, one of the partners in the house, you're the bad cop, I'm the good cop, and we'll switch. You know, so.
Excuse me, Rabbi. Yes. The busted Rebbe, may he rest.
Alav Hashalom. Yeah.
Alav Hashalom used to talk to us in his Kol Nidre before Yom Kippur Drasha. Mm-hmm. He would say, "My father used to say, Zibna Zege, Zindel Zibna Zege." You know what? The kid was
Translate.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. So the kid was waiting until 7 o'clock to get punished. It was the Rebbe. Nothing happened. But he got the idea. So that's all.
Okay. It depends on the kid. Depends on the sensitivity. All my father had to do was raise his voice. That's it. We ran. We ran for help. We ran.
Really?
We ran, boys. We ran. Shh. Never seen people run so fast.
That's why he said
you're so. He was scary. Okay. All right. In those days, you had fear of your parents. Well,
yeah.
Those days
have a look at you the right way.
Those days are gone.
That's right.
Forget it. Today is fear of the kid. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it doesn't matter whether you're speaking bad in front of someone, not in front of someone. A person who says things that cause damage to his friend, or physical damage, or monetary damage, or even just pain, pain, or he gets scared, that's also included in Lashon Hara. So you say something causes eventually damage. A malshin, we talked about. Talebearers, we talked about. This is in our tefillah. In our tefillah every day. Malshinim, malshinim. Laminim, malshinim. Some people just say, la malshinim, malshinim are talebearers. They would go to the government and say, the Jews, he celebrated his Brit Milah, and they weren't allowed to have Brit Milah. They would go and tell tales. They're causing tremendous pain and suffering to other people. Yeah. We pray that they should have no tikva. If three people heard this, this is now famous. It's called Apetlat. Just pay attention over here. This is very famous. This drew. If someone said Lashon Hara in front of three people, Okay. What difference does it make if it's in front of three people or ten people?
Testimony, it's in front of witnesses.
That's two. Why three people? And the answer is, if you say something in front of three people, it's like it's public knowledge already.
No.
They are now allowed to go and repeat it. Because since it's in front of three people, you can assume it's public knowledge. Once it's public knowledge, like something you read in the newspaper, are you allowed to talk about it? It's in the newspaper already. Everyone knows about it. Are you allowed to talk about it? Big debate. Very big debate. This Rambam is a very big debate about this Rambam. The Chafetz Chaim is more strict than this Rambam. But he brings it down. It's called Apei Tlat, very famous. If you hear someone saying gossip in front of three people, you can assume it's public knowledge and then you're allowed to repeat it. Because it's going to get out. Three people definitely is going to get out. One person, it may not get out. You're allowed to repeat it. Two people may not get out, but three people definitely is going to get out. That's called Apei Tlat. So a person said Lashon Hara in front of three people.
I'm sorry, what is that word Apei?
Apei, in front of, Tlat. Tlat in Arabic is three. Chad Trei Tlat. Trei Zuze. Trei is two. Tlat is three. So Apei Tlat, in the language of the Gemara, in front of three. Bifnei Shalosha.
Meaning that you will not get punished?
You know, let's say it. Min HaShalosha. If one of those three tells it to someone else, En Bo Mishum Lashon Hara. It's not considered Lashon Hara anymore. Because it's public knowledge. Once it's public knowledge, it's not Lashon Hara anymore. Once you see something in public, you hear it on the radio, you can repeat it. Once you hear it, saw in the newspaper, it's public knowledge. You can repeat it because you are not causing that information to get out. That is not Lashon Hara. Just repeating what you saw already, what you heard already. You're not guilty because someone else said it. You're just repeating it. There were three people who heard it. It's out. It's public information. Pardon?
Has it become something else? Like I'm thinking of like, you know, these kind of...
It's public information.
I know, but to sit, you know, people like sitting at the table talking about, you know, some scandal that happened in the Jewish community or whatever. Like
it's public knowledge. So Chafetz Chaim says, why do you have to be the one to spread it?
Yeah.
So you're Chafetz Chaim. You're Chafetz Chaimnik. But according to Rambam, there's no issur involved. It's interesting. As long as, hu shelo yitkaven la'avir hakol, as long as his intention is not to spread it further. I mean, if his intention is to spread it further, then he's also part of the machinery that causes this to be spread. The intention is just to discuss it, because already everyone knows about it. They're now discussing it and see what they can do to improve the situation. What should they have done? What should they not have done? Learn from it. Some things you have to learn from. Listen, the whole Torah is about learning. How can the Torah, Ramban, ask the question about Miriam? Poor Miriam. Why writing in the Torah? Look at Lashon Hara in the Torah. So, as Ramban says, because Hashem wants us to learn from that. He uses a practical example. Otherwise, we'd be forbidden to talk about it. But it's one of the things we have to remember every day. She talked bad about her brother, and there's so many different situations. Okay, let's wrap up. All these people we talked about are Balei Lashon Hara. We talk about if you have a guy in your neighborhood speaking Lashon Hara continuously, you're not allowed to live in that neighborhood. You have to move. How much more so you can't dwell with them and hear their words?
Cannot make him move and set
it to you. No, that's the idea. But these kind of people don't move.
If you light a little fire,
then it shows. The decree against our forefathers in the desert was because they spoke Lashon Hara about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that. They spoke about Israel. So if you get Lashon Hara speaking about, so that's why it's very dangerous. You go to Israel, how was it? Great. It was fantastic.
Don't tell the truth.
You can't say anything bad. You can't say anything bad. Everything was fantastic.
The banana trees go to bananas.
It's fantastic. All right, now we come to vengeance. Okay, that's Lashon Hara. Now we come to vengeance. I think we'll have to leave this. Should we leave this?
We'll finish it.
Okay. A person who has vengeance on his friend transgresses a negative commandment. It says, the Torah says, Lo tikom ve lo titor. Don't take vengeance on your friend. And even though, again, there's no punishment, de'arahi, it's a very bad trait. Oh, we're talking about character traits. Very bad character trait. Taking vengeance is a very bad character trait. Such a normal character trait.
Right.
It's such a natural character trait. But in Jewish law, it's such a bad character trait. Somebody's going to try and uproot it. We talked about it yesterday. I see your son gave a beautiful Dvar Torah yesterday. Your son, Ilan. Fantastic. About kain and hevel. Jealousy. Jealousy and vengeance. Cain wanted vengeance on Hevel.
Mm-hmm.
Jealousy and vengeance go together. So these are very bad traits. They lead to destruction of the world. They led to a quarter of the world was destroyed. A quarter of the world population was destroyed. through jealousy and vengeance. Here we are, vengeance. Don't take vengeance. So even though it's not a major thing, the Torah, again, doesn't say any harsh punishments for a person to take vengeance. It's a very bad trait. So anyways, Rambam's talking about traits. It's interesting, the focus on traits over here, which is a beautiful, this should be more, that's why this is to be learnt by everyone. Every Jew should learn this Hilchot Deot. It's such an important section of Jewish law, which is neglected, unfortunately. I mean, I just read this when I was in my 20s. Because you don't learn Rambam in school. No one teaches you Rambam in school. They barely teach you Shulchan Aruch. You barely know anything. You come out of school, you barely know anything. You go to yeshiva, again, you learn Gemara, 2 pages, 3 pages, 6 pages, 20 pages a year, 50 pages a year. That's a good yeshiva. But that's it. So I learned 50 pages, but it's just some topic. It's not a broad topic. It's just a very narrow topic. So now what about the rest of the Torah? So that's it's very important to learn the Rambam. And we should advertise Hilchot Deot. Everyone, every Jew should know Hilchot Deot. We should get the information out there. Everyone should know Hilchot Deot. It's a good benefit for everyone. It's one of character traits. So even though the punishment is minor, taking vengeance, it's a very bad character trait. We want to improve ourselves. By the way, if you noticed yesterday in the parasha, Hashem is saying Kitov, 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 Kitov. When it came to creation of man, there's no Kitov. The animals were created via Elohim Kitov. But man is created, no Kitov. Where's Kitov? Why is there no Kitov by a human being? And the answer is because a human being is a work in progress. It's only the end of a person's life, Hashem will say.
Lot of. Also, often the animals behave better than the men.
Animals, animals. What do you expect them to do? They do according to their instinct. You can't blame animals. To call a human being an animal, that's an insult to animals sometimes.
Yes,
it really is. To say the Nazis were animals, it's an insult to the animals. Wrong. They're much worse. No way. Animals wouldn't even do these things. Animals only eat when they're hungry. They don't kill for no reasons. So it's an insult to animals. But it's interesting. So it's the character traits we're talking about. And some things are... They're not innocuous. They seem to us to be innocuous, to be vengeful. Why not? You know that SOB did to me? That he did so and this did to me, and that to me, and this to me, and what? I can't hate him? I can't bear a grudge? No. Erase it from your heart. It's so hard to do. You know, see people get divorced. There's so much hatred. I hate that guy. He did this to me, and he did that. He called me this name, that name. Erase it from your heart. How are you going to sleep at night? So it's very important to get that vengeful feeling out. It's so hard to do. So that's vengeance. Nekama. Lo tikom, the Torah says. Can I borrow your axe? No. Next day he says, goes to him, can I borrow your axe?
No.
You didn't lend me your axe, I'm going to lend you my hammer. Too bad. That is vengeance, and that is not allowed. Can you imagine? But when he comes and he says, can I borrow it? Yeah, sure, you can have it. It's so hard to do this. Such a small example, but it's so hard to do. Obviously, you know the guy's going to look after it. This is so hard. And that was David HaMelech, apparently. His enemies, he would treat them very nicely. You see, right? Shimi ben Gera cursed him. Cursed him terribly. He let him alone. And his soldiers say, let's kill the guy. He's a dog. Kill him. Kill him. You're the king. Kill him. No, leave him alone. Hashem wanted him to curse me. It's so hard to do that. And the next one is even harder. That's Netira. What's Netira? Lotikom velotitor. Don't take vengeance. The first case of vengeance is, you didn't lend to me, I'm not going to lend to you. That's vengeance. Netira is, I'll lend it to you. But I'll tell you, I'm not like you. You didn't lend me your thing, but here is this. This is it. I'm not like you. That is not, you're not allowed to remind him. You can't even take vengeance by reminding, even though you're not doing the same action. You know how this is? Just erase the matter from your heart. The Rambam says, how do you do that? The person's going to be at a high level. It's very hard. This is Jewish law. This is not advice. This is law. This is Jewish law. Then we have to raise above our natural instincts. It's so hard to do this, to raise oneself above the natural instincts. So can you imagine? I mean, the truth is, in a marriage, there's so many different small things that a person can bear a grudge about. You know, I had a case. I'll tell you a true story. It's a true story. I had a couple who were going to get married. I told the girl, don't marry him. Don't marry him. I'm very pro-marriage, right? So, don't marry him. This guy has major problems. You're going to have a lot of problems later on. He's a flirter. He's a womanizer. Don't marry him. So she marries him anyway. She married him anyway. Then after 2 weeks, she comes to me with a big list. I said, tear up the list. It's too late now. Now I say, you have to stay with him. You knew you what you got into, and you married him anyway. So they're still married.
You won.
Baruch Hashem, they're still married. So that's it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Happily married. Yep, very happy. At least he is.